Dancy Lagarde fans, you will be thrilled to know a book is coming out if you fund it. Via Unbound, we are publishing The Dancy Lagarde Reader by Alice Fraser and Dancy Lagarde, a glorious insight into the world of Dancy Lagarde, self-published romance maven and online bestseller. If you would like to find out how to support it, go to thebuglepodcast.com. If we get enough support, we will publish the book. That's a real thing that's going to happen. Thebuglepodcast.com to support The Dancy Lagarde Reader.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The Bugle presents The Last Post with Alice Fraser.
Hello, posters, and welcome to The Last Post, the final word in this, the most final of worlds. Today's episode marks the 29th of May of the year 2020. In 1913, on this date, Igor Stravinsky's ballet score, The Rite of Springs, received its premiere performance in Paris, provoking a riot. God, ballet's fallen since then. I haven't even seen a knifing at a ballet for ages. Celebrations today include World Digestive Health Day, so make sure that you do things in the right order when it comes to your digestive health, aka eating and then doing a poo. Your guest today on the podcast is celebrity Andrew Zaltzman. Welcome back to the show.
Hi, Alice. How are you?
I'm remarkably well, Andrew. I'm really excited to have this chat because coming up today, we'll be talking all the latest in fake outrage news, on which you are, of course, our expert. But first, some headlines of stories we won't have time for.
That's an appalling suggestion.
And your headlines today: good news out of Italy, as Italian Senator Dorothy the Dinosaur returns to duty after her recent hospitalisation. The Wiggles government in Italy has risen in the polls with almost unbreakable positivity after the glitch in online voting in January that allowed babies to vote on iPads and accidentally brought them into power. An inquiry has been commissioned by Captain Feathersword into Silvio Berlusconi's suspected involvement in Dorothy's illness, though he denies everything. Do you believe Silvio Berlusconi? Do you believe that he poisoned Dorothy the Dinosaur?
I wouldn't put anything past him. I mean, there were rumours that Dorothy the Dinosaur had rejected his sexual advances after Berlusconi, you know, shouted at her, "You're the only species I need to complete the collection." But it is possible. It's entirely possible.
That's all the time we have for your headlines right now, because now it's time for your ads. Well, it's time for your ad section now, because if you're going to go out and risk your life to go back to work, you might as well spend the money on the following goods and services. Are you looking for a way to while away your extra spare time that you'd normally be commuting? Try Jim's Gym and Gymnasium's new extra-violent YouTube visualization martial arts course. Imagine how violent you could be after a mere 6 weeks of our no-holds-barred solo murder drills with a combination of aggressive techniques drawn from BJJ, Krav Maga, Russian knife fighting Sistema, kickboxing and traditional boxing, aka punch boxing. Jim's Gym and Gymnasium. We'll teach you to walk like you know how to pull someone's balls off, because you will. Now with a special 50% off if you can blitz our entry-level rage test. And this episode of the podcast is brought to you by the new Edible Wonder product. You can eat it, assuming you prepare it properly. It's nutritionally balanced for a certain value of both nutrition and balance, and fun for all the family, if your family is that kind of family. Assorted Edible Wonder product comes in a packet or bottle and will go into your mouth and through your system with adequate preparation on your part. New Edible Wonder product, by the makers of Wonder Product. I wonder what it is. And here's a public service announcement paid for by the Public Health Service and Vampire Foundation. If you've just had blood taken and are feeling a little woozy, avoid carrying heavy objects for 3 hours and strenuous exercise for up to 5 hours. Consume some high iron grains with an orange and half a glass of water. Half a glass of water. It's in your blood.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
And that's your ad section for today.
The Last Post.
Now it's time for your top stories. Confected outrage news. Andrew Zaltzman, you are our fake outrage correspondent. What's going on in the world of outrage right now?
Well, an awful lot, Alice. This has been the most outraged year since at least the 1930s. And in the absence of sport, which of course is primarily designed to give people a safe outlet for their outrage, their fury, their rancour, dudgeon, resentment and assorted non-specific vexations, people have been sadly forced to direct more of their anger at reality, leading to a literal metaphorical storm of stroppiness, a temper tempest, if you will, which eventually, of course, coalesced into a tantrum tornado. It could even become a huff hurricane or strop cyclone, depending on where you are in the world, of course. I think in the southern hemisphere, the anger goes the other way round and the pointy bits at the top. But
We call it a Tushy Twister.
Right, yeah, that's... wasn't that your stage name in your wrestling days? Anyway... people, and unusually I'm including that category, normal people as well as journalists, celebrities, politicians and indeed presidents, have been camelling up, getting their hump on about all aspects of the new coronavirus reality, about lockdowns being too strict, about lockdowns being not strict enough, being too long, too short, too medium-sized, about other people being too happy, too grumpy, too close, too far, too ill, too foreign, not foreign enough. And it's all basically springs from people's differing view of the fast-action anti-yeasting of the national and global economies that we've seen. On the plus side, being stroppy actually burns more calories than being calm and tolerant without you having to do any actual exercise. So it's, in lockdown, in terms of health, it's very, very good for your physical health to be as angry as possible all the time. And this has led to, as you mentioned, confected outrage. Obviously, began as real outrage and then it sort of mutated into a kind of socially useful outrage. It's very much like the history of organised religion, but more so. What we've seen recently is people now being outraged at the level of outrage in other people. It's a kind of double negative of complacency, and then people then outrage at them for not being outraged in the first place, and then being outraged at the people who are outraged. Everyone forgets what they're being outraged about. Now, others are then outraged that in the current climate trademark, anyone is outraged at anything when we need to be positive and optimistic and unified, and are then outraged at themselves for succumbing to that outrage. It's a very complex situation, and the upshot is we have a very stroppy planet. This has led to, kind of new shows. Darnell Snoutsevich, the host of the long-running ZXQNBC topical investigative corruption busting chat show Snouts in the Trough in the USA. He has a new podcast called Snout Rage, charting the level of outrage around the world. And there are rumours on the sporting circuit that the rescheduled 2020 Tokyo Olympics could see a revival of the ancient Olympic sport of acrimonium, which was a mixture of verbal jousting, physical fighting, scowling, and derisive body language that reached such a pitch of achievement as a sport and became so dangerous that the 1912 gold medal match, the Olympic final between German Hans-Jürgen Kloppenheimer and France's Almerience de Flamignon, is now widely regarded as the real catalyst for the First World War. So there's Yeah, a lot of outrage. And in Britain in particular, Alice, it's been rather difficult because it's yet more evidence of the decline of British values, because inrage was always our thing. You know, not outrage. You kept it in. You got angry and you boiled up from the inside. It was the only way we could keep warm in the winter. It began, I think, as an anti-Viking thing. The stiff upper lip developed because only by consciously concreting your upper lip could you keep your fury safely internalised. Otherwise, of course, you could risk scaring a lady or a priest or being executed for treason. So the decline of inrage has actually caused outrage here in by traditionalists and patriots. That's not what Brexit was supposed to be all about.
Actually, I hear that the only cure for inrage is regular exfoliation.
Are you trying to sell something, Alice?
No, I'm just saying that that's a fact. If you've got an ingrown rage, you've just got to exfoliate and it'll...
Okay, exfoliate the soul. I think it was the Smokey Robinson album back in the Motown days. Now, the lockdown itself has led to very specific new types of outrage. People who are not enjoying the lockdown being outraged at people who are enjoying the lockdown. The hyper-wealthy, furious that people are starting to think about being furious with them. The poor and marginalised are starting to get angry at, for example, politics, economics and the whole of human history. Then you've got mask rage, people wearing masks, angry at those not wearing masks, people not wearing masks, angry at those wearing masks, then tearing masks off other people's faces to put on their own faces, tearing them off other people's faces to see if they are sniggering to themselves under the cover of their mask. That, in fact, is the origin of the capirote, the pointy hat with eye holes used during Holy Week in Spain. It was really just so people couldn't be seen giggling at how f***ing ridiculous the whole thing was, I believe. That's what my rabbi told me anyway. There's snood rage, which is anger at people trying to make fashion statements with their facial coverings, which is the only thing in the world more ridiculous than people trying to make fashion statements at all. Flout rage, that's people getting angry about people flouting the lockdown restrictions. Doubt rage, that's people being really, really angry about the level of uncertainty in the world and the scientific community. And trout rage, which is something to do with fishing that I haven't fully got on top of yet.
There's a wide world of outrage to be upset about, Andrew, and I'm glad that you've brought us all these facts.
Some of the outrage is justified, and others, I think, is you know, it's, as you say, confected, and particularly against the government. Now, the government's an easy target, particularly, I mean, here in Britain. The government has received a lot of criticism for things like getting pretty much everything wrong at the absolutely critical stage of the crisis. But it's also had some quite harsh outrage slammings, which are not entirely justified. I think, for example, they've been criticised this week for not providing, in advance of the schools reopening, not providing all school teachers of all genders with Victorian-era steel-hooped caged crinoline skirts with a 2-metre radius to keep our scrofula school kids at a safe distance. But can the government be blamed for that? I mean, there were stockpiles left from the 1850s, but they degraded, understandably. And also a lot of the fury against Donald Trump is, I think, a bit unfair against Trumpelstiltskin. And particularly the recent statement he made advising Americans to jump onto their kitchen tables and adopt a kind of kung fu pose if they think they've seen a virus in their house. I mean, sure, it might not help, but it's not really harming anyone. In fact, you know, it might be the kind of exercise that a lot of America actually could do with. But, you know, there's that kind of knee-jerk responses criticise everything the man says.
Not to contradict you, Andrew, but I mean, it was obvious that he had stocks in kung fu poses on kitchen tables when he made that recommendation, so it was questionable as to his motives.
But, you know, he was appointed by God to be president of America, so we can't really argue with what he says.
And what is the fake outrage that has outraged you the most in recent years, or recent days even? What real outrage have you faked the most outrage about?
Well, obviously the furlough scheme here, the government, you know, picking up a lot of the tab for workers being sort of temporarily basically laid off but kept on. Now, billionaires have been furloughing their workers, taking advantage of the generosity of the government when they could easily pick up that tab themselves. Now, clearly that is worth a generous squadge of genuine outrage, but I really had to fake it, to fake that outrage, because, well, I personally... Yeah, I don't know if I should actually say this, I don't know if my accountant's going to listen to this, but I furloughed my wife and children after misunderstanding the regulations and filling in the wrong form. Now, I should get them back later in the year when the scheme ends, but for now I have to treat them as if I'm unrelated to them.
Well, that's very good to know, Andrew, and that's all the time we have for our top story today, because now it's time for your letters to the editor. Remember, you can send a letter to the editor at thelastpost@somethingelse.com. Dear Alice and guest... That's you today, Andrew.
Hi.
How are you doing? How are you doing?
How am I doing, or what am I doing? Or why am I doing?
How?
Why is the more important question?
When are you doing?
When?
Where are you doing it?
I've no idea anymore.
I want you to know that I've been enjoying your podcast since the beginning. It's been a source of amusement and amazement for the last 10 years, and in some cases, even a source of news. One thing, though, I've tried listening back to all the previous episodes to see if the new ones would make more sense. Luckily, this didn't work. I have a question, though.
That's very much how the Bible worked, I think, isn't it? The new bits just didn't make any sense whatsoever. Stick to the old stuff.
That's just because you're reading them in the wrong order. I have a question. Could you get Dan C. Lagarde on your podcast for an interview? I'd like to know more about this writer, but I couldn't find anything on the internet. He or she is probably working under a pseudonym. I'd love to get to know them better, though. I like the books very much, especially the one about the guy that stabs himself in the eye with a meat fork and ends up half vampire, half kitchen utensil, and half blind. Very
good. What, kitchen blind?
Thanks, and good luck to Christopher and his rapidly expanding team. Yeah, yours sincerely, Ard. Thank you so much for that letter, Ard. I'm not sure if we can get the reclusive Dancy Lagarde on the podcast, but if we can, I will let you know, and that will happen as soon as possible.
I imagine Dancy doesn't have a lot of time for interviews. I mean, it's such prolific output.
With the grueling schedule of one new novel every 4 days, I'm not sure that there would be time for almost anything else, but we'll see if we can find a break. Maybe they take a holiday at some point in the year. That's all the time we have for your letters to the editor. And remember, again, you can send a letter to the editor at thelastpost@somethingelse.com. And thank you for listening to The Last Post today. We are here in your ears 366 days of this year, and we'll be back tomorrow with all the latest news in this dimension. Your guest on the podcast today was Mr. Andrew Zaltzman. You can listen back to previous Andrew Zaltzman episodes in, for example, episode 18, episode 21, and episode 28, where he did some great celebrity work. Andrew, have you got anything to plug?
Well, a couple of new TV series coming out in the next few minutes or hours. I've got a new scientific investigation series in which I investigate all the science that is obviously just bullshit or witchcraft. The show's called Yeah Right, and episode one is entitled What the F*** is Yeast? And also a new series of my What If historical TV series, investigating this week whether if the Germans had taken over a key port city in Kent and Hitler had been able to claim it as his own, Britain would have been able to ride out this blow to national morale through sheer willpower. The show is entitled Mind Over Matter.
The Last Post is a Something Else Alice Fraser and Bugle Podcasts production. I am Alice Fraser. Find me online at Alliterative on Twitter and Instagram. That's Alliterative. Or commit to the full Alice Fraser experience by signing up on patreon.com/AliceFraser for a behind-the-scenes look at my glamorous life. The executive producer of this podcast is Christopher D. Skinner. His adoring and bedazzled subordinate producers are Harriet Wells and Ped Hunter. As they and we always say, good luck to you, Christopher, and I'll talk to you again tomorrow.
Hello, I'm Jay Rayner, and I host the Out to Lunch podcast, where I take fabulous guests out for lunch and grill them to a turn. For now, whilst lockdown reigns supreme, we're staying in for lunch instead, and we've got great company. Fascinating people share only the best takeaways with me over webcam. Great food and insightful conversation with the likes of Gary Neville, Sharon Horgan, George Ezra, and Dieter Von Teese.
Have you ever had a cream pie in the face?
No! So if you, like me, enjoy food and are missing restaurants, subscribe to Out to Lunch with Jay Rayner, available wherever you get your podcasts.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.